नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, which is called Krishna, is the source of all incarnations. This is text 43. Krishna. Right. Krishna svadamo pagate dharma gyanadi bisaha kalau nashta drishamesha puran arko dunodita. Translation: this Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. And Mata Mangala will read the purport.
Lord Sri Krishna has his eternal dharma, or abode, where he eternally enjoys himself with his eternal associates and paraphernalia. And his eternal abode is a manifestation of his internal energy, whereas the material world is a manifestation of his external energy. When he descends on the material world, he displays himself with all paraphernalia in his internal potency, which is called Atma Maya. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he descends by his own potency, Atma Maya. His form, name, fame, paraphernalia, abode, etc. are not therefore creations of matter. He descends to reclaim the fallen souls and to re-establish codes of religion which are directly enacted by him. Except for God, no one can establish the principles of religion. Either he or a suitable person empowered by him can dictate the codes of religion. Real religion means to know God, our ultimate relation with him, and our duties in relation with him, and to know ultimately our destination after leaving this material body. The conditioned souls who are entrapped by the material energy hardly know all these principles of life. Most of them are like animals engaged in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. They are mostly engaged in sense enjoyment under the pretension of religiosity, knowledge, or salvation. They are still more blind in the present age of quarrel, or Kali Yuga. In the Kali Yuga, the population is just a royal edition of the animals. They have nothing to do with spiritual knowledge or godly religious life. They are so blind that they cannot see anything beyond the jurisdiction of the subtle mind, intelligence, or ego. But they are very much proud of their advancement in knowledge, science, and material prosperity. They can risk their lives to become a dog or hog just after leaving the present body, for they have completely lost sight of the ultimate aim of life. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared before us just a little prior to the beginning of Kali Yuga, and he returned to his eternal home practically at the commencement of Kali Yuga. While he was present, he exhibited everything by his different activities. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita specifically and eradicated all pretentious principles of religiosity. And prior to his departure from this material world, he empowered Sri Vyasadeva through Narada to compile the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And thus both the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam are like torchbearers for the blind people of this age. In other words, if men in this age of Kali want to see the real light of life, they must take to these two books only, and their aim of life will be fulfilled. Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of the Bhagavatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the summum bonum of life, Lord Sri Krishna personified. We must therefore accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the direct representation of Lord Krishna. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can see also Lord Sri Krishna in person. They are identical.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastitade Satarane. This verse is actually an answer by Suta Goswami to one of the questions asked by the sages at Namisharanya. They asked some six questions, which in the first chapter is called Questions by the Sages. And one of the questions was, to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter now that Lord Krishna has left the earth? They're referring to Krishna's actual appearance. Although Lord Krishna is the source of all the incarnations, he himself appears once in a day of Lord Brahma. And personally teaches, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam sajarmaham. Of course, the Lord does that sometimes to the other incarnations, but they were referring to Krishna's appearance. So now that he's gone, where can we find religion? So the answer is given in this verse that Krishna is still present through the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavat Purana. And in the purport, Prabhupada adds that Krishna is also present in Bhagavad Gita, these two books. It's particularly urgent to find Krishna because of the age of darkness, Kali Yuga. In which there are so many disadvantages. That is also stated here in the earlier. Prayanal payasa sabya kalabasmin yugejana manda samanda matayo manda bhagyahi upadruta. These are some of the disadvantages of people in the age of Kali. They have, compared to former ages, people don't live anywhere near as long as they used to live. We can't even imagine how long people could expect to live and discharge their duties. We know that we have duties and it takes time to develop Krishna consciousness. One enters Gurukul, Brahmachari, Brahmacharini, then one enters marriage, Grihastha, then one, when those duties are finished, begins to resign, renounce, and by vanaprastha and sannyas, and it takes so much time to do all these things. And then spiritual development itself, if it's something like yoga, that takes a lot of time and study. But if you don't have very long to live, then the whole thing is jeopardized. So that's one factor about Kali Yuga, short life duration. We say 100 years, but who lives even that long? And then during that lifetime, people are not ready to exert effort for spiritual life. Krishna consciousness is a very easy and palatable form of spiritual life, but people will regard even that as too difficult. and they just want to take it easy materially and spiritually. Lazy. So that verse, manda samanda matayo, they're bad and lazy, or slow. So that's a description of humanity in the age of Kali. And then, they're always disturbed. The government disturbs us, noises disturb us, neighbors disturb us, the enemies disturb us. There's all kinds of agitations, so that life is not peaceful. And spiritual life generally goes best with a peaceful life in the mode of goodness. So when civilization itself is full of disturbances, then that's a disadvantage, certainly, for inner life. And then, in the age of Kali, falsehood is increased, so that if some rare person is interested in more than just struggling for existence, in more than sense gratification, and looks around for some religious guidance, he's liable to meet someone who will cheat him. Someone will say, yes, I'll give you religious guidance. You come to my sect and you serve here and we'll teach you. But they cheat them. So the poor persons in Kali Yuga get misled in so many ways. That's why the question is very urgent. Where is religion to be found in this dark age? So Bhagavatam means Krishna, and Krishna means Krishna and his devotees, or Krishna means devotional service. That's what he teaches, like in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharmam parityajna mamekam saranam braja. Give up all other activities in the name of religion and surrender to me. So Krishna's teaching bhakti yoga, and the best books of bhakti yoga are Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Regarding the Bhagavatam, it is also stated in the Bhagavatam, anartha pashamam sakshat bhakti yoga ahoksajam lokanam lokasya samhita. Anartha pashamam sakshat bhakti yoga ahoksajay. The present age, people are full of anarthas. People are full of unwanted bad habits. And therefore they don't know what is good for them. But knowing this misfortune, Srila Vyasadeva prepared the Samhita, which is the spotless Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Bhakti Yoga. So this, we know this in ISKCON, we're practicing every morning, we study Bhagavatam. So people who want to know what is the Krishna conscious movement, now that you have a new location here, we hope the neighbors will come, and as always you will not only preach to the people of this neighborhood, but go all around the whole country, informing people about Krishna consciousness. So what we would like to be able to extend to people is this knowledge that real spiritual practice is necessary, certainly, for every human being, and it can be found in this dark age by this process of regularly hearing Bhagavatam, and chapter by chapter, everything will be told. Prabhupada says they're like torchlights or torch bearers. So the temple should also be a torch bearer, that at least here, every morning, the Bhagavatam is being discussed, and the Bhagavad Gita is being discussed. And then we try to encourage people to also buy the books, and keep them in their home, and read them, and then practice bhakti yoga. That's also our duty, to practice here and to tell people about the practice. So some of the science of God is described in Prabhupada's purport, where he says that the Lord, when he came, he displayed personally the spiritual world. There is another world, not only this world. Bhagavad Gita tells us, parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyakta sanatana. There's another world which is not destroyed. This world will be destroyed in time. Or our bodies will be destroyed or will die in time. But there's another world, vyakto vyakta sanatana. It's not manifest here. And its nature is eternal, sanatana. So what is that like, that sanatana world? Is it just a place of light? Is it a void, or what is it? Krishna informs us in person when he came about the sanatana dham. And he also informs us about this world. We need to know also what is this world we're living in. Some philosophers, the atheist philosophers, they say this world is all there is. And so all our efforts should be to improve conditions here. And they even look upon religious teachings as like threatening the good work of improving conditions here in the only world there is. So there's that famous anti-religious statement by Karl Marx that religion is the opiate of the people. He regarded it, by listening about the other world, people would be not motivated to make economic development, which is the real goal. But human beings need more than economic development to be happy. The Vedas recognize economic development. Therefore, there's mentioned religion, that's dharma, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification. These are all bona fide activities for civilized life. But ultimately, one has to come to moksha, or liberation, and beyond moksha, to bhakti, love of God. So we have to know, what is this world, and what is the other world? What is our relationship to the both worlds? What is God's relationship to both worlds? So everything is explained. This world is also the energy of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, but it's his external energy. It's even been described or compared to a prison. As the prison is within the jurisdiction of the government, so the material world is also. But the prison is for punishable criminal living entities, not for happy, normal life. Similarly, the living entities or the jivas, their happy life is not in this prison material energy of God's, but it's in his free land, his parabhyoma, his kingdom of God. Their life is full of bliss, full of knowledge. Why? Because Krishna is there and he's the source of all pleasure, reservoir of pleasure. This is the most important education. Education in God consciousness, not just to memorize dogmas of a particular religious sect, but to understand these kind of things, the nature of the soul to God and to the material and spiritual worlds. And that education, based on Bhagavatam, should begin at the earliest age. Komaram acharat pragyo, dharmam bhagavatanita. So it's good also that there's a school, Gurukul. Of course, the parents are mostly anxious about Gurukul for their own children. But we hope that someday there'll be Gurukuls for all children. Not just Hindu school, but a school where actually the principles of religion are taught. according to these authoritative books. This is Bhagavad Dharma. And Bhagavad Dharma centers around knowing the personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna cannot be learned by any other process except by hearing from Krishna himself and the representatives of Krishna. And yet it's the most knowledge of Krishna or God is the most important thing there is. So we can't over-exaggerate what a bad age this is, because there is such a covering over of a knowledge of God consciousness and God conscious behavior. And yet, neither can we overemphasize what advantage there is through the methods that Lord Krishna left and which Lord Chaitanya specifically revived and made even more relevant for the people of this age, and that is Bhakti Yoga. Kaler doshe nidhe rajan aste haika mahagunan kirtanadi vikrishnasya mukta sangha parambhajat. The age of Kali is full of vices, so it's compared to an ocean of vice. And yet there's one great quality, and that is that just by chanting Hare Krishna, one can be liberated from birth and death. So that when we say Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we include the chanting of Hare Krishna. Actually, Lord Chaitanya, he summarized it. He mentioned in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, which Rupa Goswami gave us in the book Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, many, many items of devotional service. There are even 64 items. Starts with approaching the spiritual master, becoming initiated, and so on. But then he summed up that actually there are five that are the most important. And they are studying Srimad Bhagavatam is one. Living in a holy place. Chanting Hare Krishna. Worshipping the deity. Associating with devotees. These five are so potent that a little performance of them even will purify you and take you out of this material category. As you see, these five things are all given to us by Prabhupada as our life and soul. Living in a holy place can be taken literally as living, going to India and living in Vrindavan or Mayapur. But even there, in those places, there are places that are misleading. In Vrindavan, there are so many ashrams of Mayavadis. So the real point is, the holy place means an ashram or temple of Krishna. A place where Krishna consciousness is practiced and is made sacred by that constant practice. Then Bhagavatam, the chanting Hare Krishna, all these things, deity worship, and associating with devotees. Actually, in order to understand Srimad Bhagavatam properly, it has to be in the context of associating with devotees. We can associate with Prabhupada by reading his purport, but it is recommended to be discussed in the society of devotees. Then the messages come out and it becomes clearer. And Krishna likes that. He likes it when devotees much chitta mat bat prana bodhiyantak parasparam katiyantas chamamicha tushanticha ramanticha. My devotees, they get pleasure in enlightening one another and talking about me. This is the association of devotees. So all five of these most important aspects of Bhakti Yoga, they have to go together. Now, the last sentence in this purport is a very wonderful promise given, that we must accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the direct representation of Lord Krishna. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can see also Lord Krishna in person. They are identical. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is not an ordinary book. It looks like a book, a big book, like a dictionary or something. And you can put it on a shelf, and an ordinary person, he might think of it as just another book. But that's not seeing Srimad Bhagavatam. Seeing Srimad Bhagavatam means to hear it very submissively and begin to relish it. And then by that, you actually get the darshan of Krishna. So we should always approach Srimad Bhagavatam in that way, reverently, coming for the darshan of the Lord. And know that that is the standard of Bhagavatam, and that is possible for us. All you have to do is have the desire to meet Krishna. And then, if you very submissively read, you can be part of all these descriptions. When Shukadeva is talking to Maharaj Parikshit, you may also be there and hear. When Lord Vishnu appears to Dhruva Maharaj, he can appear to you. You may see him appear according to your faith and purity and submissiveness. There'll be nothing lacking. When we don't understand this principle, then we think, well, I'm reading the book, but I wish I could one day actually see Krishna. Then you're making a false distinction. Just like if somebody makes a distinction between the deity and Krishna, thinking the deity is a statue and Krishna is something else, that's a false distinction. So the whatever we can gain from the delightful, purifying, protective association of the Supreme Lord in person is obtainable in the book, Bhagavatam. Otherwise, even when Krishna was present, people saw him and they didn't get the benefit. So many, even we hear in Krishna Katha of such meetings. For example, when Krishna went to Mathura, he was walking with Balaram and they came upon a washerman. And Krishna and Balaram said, oh, let us have some of your clothes. You have very nice clothes. Please do us a little service and we can take some of your nice clothes and decorate ourselves on entrance into Mathura. So he was offering that washerman a nice opportunity to do some service. And they even said, Krishna Balaram said, if you do this, we will reward you with good fortune. Not that they were going to steal it or something. So they gave him a good chance for service and for reward. But he didn't recognize that this is Krishna and Balaram, the well-wishers of all living entities, the supreme personalities of Godhead. And he tried to chastise them. He said, I work for the king, Kamsa. So therefore, these clothes belong to him. Everything belongs to him. You should not be so rude, impertinent, as to ask for the king's property. People who do that, they'll be punished. So I'm warning you. Don't make such a request. This kind of thing happened even in Krishna's time. Again and again, you read in Krishna book. Of course, that washerman then, Krishna disposed of him just with his hand, knocked off his head. And then almost immediately after that, Krishna came upon just the opposite kind of person, who was also a very humble worker. He was just a florist, grew flowers. But he saw Krishna and Balaram as those lords he wanted to serve, and he gave a very beautiful garland of all his best flowers to Krishna, and considered that Krishna was honoring him by taking the garland. And so Krishna blessed Sudama that he would become Krishna conscious and all spiritual and material happiness in this life would be his, and the next life he'd go back to Godhead. Therefore, yayatamam prapadyante tam stitava bhajamyaham. As you approach Krishna, he reciprocates with you accordingly. You approach Krishna and chastise him, then he'll chastise you like anything. You approach Krishna and give him a garland, and he'll bless you. So with Srimad Bhagavatam, if you think, oh, this is just a big book, and I cannot read it all, or I cannot read any of it, then it will remain closed to you, just like what you think of it as. If you think of it as just some dry philosophy, then you'll not be able to benefit. But if you try to hear and not be lazy, like the characteristic of people of Kali Yuga, then we'll do well. Now, elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that when you come to sit down to hear Bhagavatam, if you really want to pay attention, your life has to be a good life. He says one can only hear with rapt attention if he's purified by pure activities of eating, mating, sleeping, and defending. I remember when Prabhupada would speak from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and he was so bold and so merciful that he came to New York City where people never even heard of Bhagavatam and weren't interested. And he began to speak with confidence that actually it will attract them and break up the maya in their hearts, bound over by the three modes of nature. At first, when he arrived in America, in Boston, he wrote a poem expressing some doubt. And how will these people in the Western countries take to it? We preachers today, we may sometimes have moments of doubt like this. When we see the people of our country, how they're just wasting their lives, we think, how will they receive the message of Krishna? So Prabhupada expressed that too. But then he assured himself, or Krishna assured him, no, the Bhagavatam says that if you can deliver the message of Krishna, it will work, because everyone has a dormant love of God within them. So as I've become Krishna conscious, others will also. So with that faith, Prabhupada began conducting his classes, and at first it was not so successful, apparently. But Krishna rewards the continued efforts of a preacher of the Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada was very patient, and then gradually some people came who were interested. But I recall even then, when there were interested people, sometimes someone would wander off the street from the nearby Bowery, the Bowery Bum. So if they weren't, to follow that point, that your life has to be sanctified in order to hear properly. So it was very difficult for an intoxicated person to come off the street and actually hear the Bhagavatam. They might come in, sit a little while, and then they'd go away. Therefore, one who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can see also Lord Sri Krishna in person. They are identical. This is one of the great benefits of being a member of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, that by leading the life of regulated principles and regularly hearing Bhagavatam, nasta prayasu abhadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata uttama shloka bhaktir bhavati naistuki, we will soon have all dirty things taken from our heart, and we'll be able to associate directly with Krishna. So the benefits of being a member of the Krishna Conscious Movement, they're not small benefits. They're the greatest benefits, that you can associate directly with Krishna. This is our aim, to associate with Krishna in this life and the future life through the service, devotional service. And the first service is Shravanam, to actually meet Krishna by hearing about him in Srimad Bhagavatam. For the blind people of this age, these two books are like torchbearers If men in this age of Kali want to see the real light of life, they must take to these two books only, and their aim of life will be fulfilled. We have one prayer that we say to the Jagannath deity. Jagannath Swami Nyanapatagami Bhavatume. O Lord of the universe, kindly be visible to me. So you can see Jagannath, but we pray anyway, Lord Jagannath, please let me see you as the Supreme Lord, as spiritual. Only if Krishna reveals himself to a person can that person actually see Krishna and not a statue. Similarly, when you chant Hare Krishna, it's not by mechanically chanting that Krishna will be revealed to you automatically. But if he wants to, if he's pleased with the way you chant, then he reveals himself to you. Similarly with Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not just because you come and sit at the class, but if Krishna is pleased with the way you're paying attention and approaching Bhagavatam, then through the Bhagavatam, he will reveal himself to you. According to our surrender. But that we should always have that faith and approach like that, that here is a chance for me to be with the most attractive person who will satisfy all my desires and eliminate all my unhappiness. Lord Krishna, through this process of hearing Krishna Katha. And then Krishna will be pleased to do that. I'll read the verse again. Krishne sva dhamo pagate dharma jnana dibisaha kalau nashta drishamesha puranarko dunodita. This Bhagavata Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, and so on. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So the verse is very poetic. It's described that like a sun, the sun rises in the morning. So when Krishna left, that was very unfortunate. But then this sun came up, this wonderful sun came on the horizon of the dark night. And that sun is the Bhagavata Purana. And it's as brilliant as the sun. All the darkness can be removed in this particularly dark night of Kali. Hare Krishna. So, does anyone have any questions or comments? Josh?
Will it describe that the Bhagavatam is the solution for the problems of this age? You see, it also, so many people that are familiar with Bhagavatam, they have probably heard Bhagavatam, but yet they see that they don't come to the conclusion that their life should be surrendered to Krishna, that Krishna is the absolute truth and the object of service. So it seems that this is a
solution, and yet so many people already come and they don't seem to get the light, or they don't see through the light of Bhagavatam. So. Well, you're referring to people who apparently read the Bhagavatam but don't come to the conclusion that the Bhagavatam is the summum bonum of life. That means that they're not actually hearing the Bhagavatam from the right person or with the right attitude. Prabhupada would refer to people who studied the Bhagavad Gita from just a scholarly point of view, for example, and without faith. And he said they were like somebody who tries to lick the outside bottle of honey and think that he's tasting honey. To get the honey, you have to open the bottle. So this means that someone is not really hearing properly or hearing from the right source. Otherwise he would come to this conclusion. So Krishna, he doesn't want to reveal himself cheaply to a person who doesn't actually want to approach him in the right way. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogam maya samavita mudho yam navijanati lokam amajamabhiyam. Krishna says, I deliberately put a curtain between myself and foolish people of the world. The curtain is called yogamaya. Well, if Krishna wants us to go back to Godhead and stop suffering, if he's coming as the light, why does he say he drops a curtain? That's just the opposite. Because if people don't want to approach him to render service, then they cannot just take something from his book and at the same time get the real benefit of becoming a devotee of Krishna. So Krishna will reveal the essence from such people. He also says, Manusyanam sahasreshu kascha yatati siddhaye yatamapi siddhanam kascha mamvadi tatpata. Out of thousands of people, hardly anyone is interested in the absolute truth. Even of those who are interested and achieve a certain perfection, hardly one knows Krishna in truth. It's rare. And then even among devotees, some are more serious than others. But the truth is there, the light is there. We have to bring ourselves into the light in the right attitude, and Krishna, then he'll make it brilliant as the sun. And we, who are at least to some degree followers of this path, we should try to distribute that light, the light of the Bhagavatam, to people in darkness. Even if they want to stay in darkness, we try to remind them, don't stay in the darkness. Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Come out of the dark, come into the light. The owl stays out of the light, so he doesn't benefit from the light. But we're trying to bring the owl-like people back into the light. So you shouldn't be bewildered if you find people who say, yes, I've heard of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I know the Bhagavad Purana, if they don't regard it as important. Or if Prabhupada would meet people who, someone said, I've read the Bhagavad Gita many times. And then Prabhupada asked, what is your conclusion? And the person would say, I don't have any conclusion. But when you read, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, as Arjuna heard it, your conclusion should be, now, Krishna, my illusion is removed, I surrender to you. But if someone says, I know the Bhagavad Gita, and I think it's teaching this, I think it's teaching that, but not surrender to Krishna, then they haven't understood Bhagavad Gita as it is. It may be that they were misled by a Kali Yuga cheater, and that's a great misfortune. And it may be that they wanted to be cheated, but they didn't want to worship Krishna. So we can feel sorry for that, but we shouldn't be bewildered that I'm following this book, but not many people are following it. So maybe something's wrong with the book. No, it's not like that. The book is perfect. And the more that we can appreciate it, then we'll have no doubt and we'll try to share it with others. Someone else have a question? Yes.
Why is it so necessary to study Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita? terms of devotional activities, why can't I just render service, like be with the Jyoti, render service, instead of giving so much time to just study Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita? So many books, you know, sometimes you look at, you know, the stack of books, and it's like frustrated a little and just like looking at them and you're just like thinking to them.
Well, we say shravanam, kirtanam. The main thing is to hear. If you can hear if you don't like to read so much, if you can hear what's in these books from somebody, then that's the same thing. And you say, I like to associate with devotees. So the devotees, they should be sharing with you the Krishna Katha. We don't hear that the residents of Vrindavan were so much reading books. They were with Krishna. And yet they also knew the philosophy because they heard it from devotees or it was revealed in their hearts. And another example is Gaurakishore Das Babaji was illiterate. He was such a great spiritual master and devotee that he became the guru of Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, who read all the stacks of books. So one reads and one hears, but you have to somehow or other hear it, whether by attending the classes and hearing from learned devotees and also reading the books. But we who are following Prabhupada, we know that he took so much pains to write these books, and he said they were for his devotees, so it's a nice way to be with him also. But the answer is, you can get it also by hearing from others. Still, even if you only read one verse a day, you can gain so much knowledge. We don't ask you to sit and read all day. But just hear at least a verse a day and a purport a day, an hour a day if you can. Not so much. Some people would ask Prabhupada that your students should study more and more. But he said they have many different things to do, so they can come and study for an hour in the morning and then do so many activities in the day and then study an hour at night. It's not a very heavy program for someone who is not inclined to read books. When you consider all the television, radio, newspapers, magazines that are read, and if that time could be spent reading this, actually you do read a lot, or you do hear a lot. So here in terms of Krishna Katha, that time is better spent. Is that all right? And now, so many enterprising devotees have made dramatic readings of the books and videos of the books, and you can take it anywhere you like now, driving in your car or watching in your video. There's no excuse. Not to hear about Krishna. Prabhupada used to say that all of this can be attained just by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. But if you want to discuss philosophy, he said, then come on, we have written so many books, come and read them. So the understanding was that in this age, when there's so much emphasis on education and reason, that if people want, they say, well, what is this? Is this some sentimental thing, just chant Hare Krishna? Why should I do it? Well, who's Krishna anyway? Therefore, the books are for convincing the intelligence and convincing by reason and scripture. It is good for the movement to have a foundation on such knowledge in books. But a person can achieve the same thing by faithful chanting. What is the schedule? When is Arti? No? All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.